I'd like for you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. The book of Acts, some call this the Acts of the Apostles. I believe it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament church. Acts, chapter number 12, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. I want to preach tonight on prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. And we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for everything it shows us. Lord, the promises and the peace we get through it. Lord, we thank you for preserving it for us that we can take it and read it and see your power. And Lord, as we look at this particular passage, we see your power in a mighty way because of a church, Lord, that was praying. We also see other things about this church, and I pray tonight that you'll help us, Lord, to be the kind of church that'll trust thee, look to thee, and learn from thee. Help me as I stand to preach. I can't do this. Not me, Lord, not myself. But I know that the power of the Spirit of God can do something great and mighty in this place tonight. And I pray that I would be guided by that Spirit. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. We find here in these first four verses that James, the brother of John, had been killed with a sword. Herod had taken his life. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he said, I'm going to get Peter also. And so they go and they get Peter. And they put Peter in prison. And after Easter, the Bible says, they're going to take him out and they're going to kill him just like they did James. You can imagine all that was going on. I really wonder what was going on in Peter's mind. I believe there was thoughts of victory as well as probably some nervousness. I think he was ready to go and be with the Lord. I have no doubt that he was like the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, I'm in a strait between the two. I have a desire to depart and I have a desire to stay. And Peter realized that there were things going on in his life. But Peter also knew that he was going to live to an old age because the Lord Jesus had told him this. So I believe while Peter was in prison, I believe that he was resting comfortably knowing that God's in control. But meanwhile, in another part of town, there were a group of people meeting, and this group of people was the church. And this church was talking to God. The Bible says in verse number 5 that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So we begin to see what happens when the church prays. We begin to see the power of God when the people of God will pour their heart out to God, will call upon Him and trust Him. And tonight I want us to look and see what can happen when the church prays. Sometimes we look for answers that God doesn't give, but many times we pray the answer instead of praying the prayer. Many times we decide what the outcome ought to be, but here I believe what we have to do is we have to pray and give things to God and just say, God, it's all up to you now. That way we can't be disappointed with the answer when we know that God gives the answer. But when we've already predetermined what's going to happen, and it don't happen that way, then we get upset with the Lord. And I want you to know, God makes no mistakes. God's on the throne. God's in control. God sees our tomorrow. God's going to take care of everything. So tonight, I want to give you just a few thoughts about this, and let's go down through here very quickly. We won't be here any more than 3.5 hours, and we'll be out, all right? So tonight, I want you to look. I want you to see, first of all, the asking. The asking. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. So we know where Peter was at. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, for Peter. So while Peter's in prison, the church was busy asking God for something great. And I want you to understand that if anything's ever going to happen, it's going to take the prayers of God's people. It's going to take God's people calling upon a God and knowing that God is able to hear and answer prayer. The sad thing is many Christians' prayer lives today don't go beyond God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. Many of us have not developed a devotional life. We may read our Bible once a day and thank God for what we've just read, but a devotional life not only reads the Bible, but it takes in what the Bible has to say, and we meditate upon it, and we allow that to affect us all the day long, and we find ourselves continually talking to God throughout the day. That's what a devotional life is. Well, here we find that the church was making a prayer unto God for Peter, and they were praying without ceasing. I mean, they were possibly on their knees. I can imagine some of them flat on their face, prostrate on the ground, and they were calling out to God and crying out that God would do something mighty and wonderful in the life of Peter. They knew that God was a God that could hear and answer prayer. And their prayer was more than just a prayer to thank God for food or prayer to, I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I believe it's more than that, don't you? I believe they entered into the throne room of God. I believe they were able to enter into the Holy of Holies, and they were able to talk to God, and they were able to actually communicate with God because they were praying to the God that could hear. So we see the asking. Now I want you to see the action. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. What can happen when the church prays? Think about it. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. This is a pretty difficult situation. Peter's bound with two chains. Two soldiers are bound in chains on the other side. You understand what's going on here? Two soldiers, two chains, they're bound together. And there's keepers of the door of the prison. There's no way Peter's going to escape. He's here. But they had talked to God. Things looked hopeless. But I want you to know that nothing is ever hopeless as long as God is on the throne. Sometimes you feel like it's the end of your rope. But as long as God's on the throne and we learn to call upon Him and to trust Him, God can do great and mighty things. And the Bible says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Well, there's one thing conquered. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. So apparently the soldiers were taken care of that was chained to him. When he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If this were happening to us, we'd be thinking this is a vision, a dream, something's going on. Peter's in prison. I believe his rest and faith is in the Lord. He may not even realize that the church is praying for him. But you ever hear somebody say, I felt your prayers? Peter's feeling the prayers of the church right here. He's seeing what's happening. The Bible goes on and says, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. What happened here was the asking was in verse number 5, we see the asking. But in verses 6 through 11, we see the action. God hears and answers prayer when we get serious about things. When's the last time our prayer life was serious? You know what we do most of the time is, I mean, I don't know, I guess I'm preaching to me here. I moan and groan a lot, but I forget to pray. I see all the faults and all the errors, and I forget to talk to the one that can take care of it all. Dear friends, we're going to live a defeated life if that's what we do. When God's people pray, there's action. There's action going on in heaven, action going on earth. God's taking care of everything, but we see right here an amazing thing takes place. He's bound with two chains. He's bound with two chains to a soldier on each side, the keepers of the door, and God takes care of all of that. Every obstacle that was there, God took care of it. To the point that Peter thought, I'm having a vision. This isn't really happening. And then they go through the first ward and they make it through the second ward, the third ward, and then they come to the gate. And the gate, without any help at all, the angel doesn't go over and touch it. Peter doesn't go over and touch it. But of its own accord, the gate opens up. I want you to know that our God hears and answers prayer. And if we'll learn to be serious in our prayer life and have this devotional life that God wants us to have, God will hear and answer our prayer. And by the way, when we're praying in the will of God, we won't determine the answer. We'll trust God with the answer. The church was talking to God on behalf of Peter and asking God to do some great and mighty things. So we see the asking. We see the action. I want you to see, thirdly, the anxiousness. The anxiousness of Peter. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter was anxious to go to where the church was. I want to tell you something. When it comes to God's people, there's no greater group of people to be around. He had just realized what God had done, and he said, I want to get over here to the church. There's no doubt they've been talking to God for me. And this ought to be a place of refuge. You know, this ought to be a place when people are at home on Sunday mornings and when it's getting time, they ought to be anxious about getting to the house of God. They ought to be anxious on Sunday night about coming to the house of God and being able to get around this group of people that love them and that they love. And while we all have our faults and we all have our failures, there's something there that binds us together, and we can pray for one another and we can care for one another and we can encourage one another. Peter loved the church. And he says, I want to get to the church. I want to get to this place where the church is gathered. This shows the power of God. This is what will happen when true revival comes. This is what will happen. People will have an anxiousness. They'll be anxious to be here. They'll have a desire to be here. There'll be something that pulls them here. Many people will never experience revival in their life. When I got saved, revival came to me because I had this desire to be around God's people. I got saved on the third Monday night of an 11-week meeting, the third Monday night. As far as I know, I missed one other service. I didn't go to the first two nights. I started going on the third night of that meeting, a Wednesday night. Went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then went to my church on Sunday. Then I went Monday through Saturday the next week. And then I went back on the following Monday and I got saved. Actually, I think I missed the Saturday before the Monday night. Something happened. I didn't get to go. But then I didn't miss another night. 8 more weeks in church every night. I just wanted to be around God's people. I just wanted to be about where the people of God were praying together and the preaching was going on and the singing was going on. And man, I'm telling you, God done something great in my life. If we'll be the kind of people that learn to pray, John R. Rice wrote a book on prayers, asking and receiving. If you've never read that book, you ought to read that book. It's a great book for prayer. That's what prayer is all about, asking and receiving. Talking to God and trusting God. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Him. And when the church prayed, God went into action. I believe sometimes God's just waiting on us to pray. God's just waiting on us to trust Him, to call upon Him. And then when God delivered Peter, Peter just desired to be with God's people. Revival was taking place, no doubt. Man, this book of Acts is just a book of revival after revival after revival, isn't it? Seeing all kinds of things happen. But then I want you to see the attitude. Now this is what happens. God hears and answers prayer, but we see the church in this. We see it so truthfully. Notice what the Bible says, verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, a young girl. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. We find the youth of the church, this young girl. She didn't see Peter, but she heard him. And she had been listening to the prayers, and she had been praying these prayers, and all of a sudden, she goes running back in. She just forgot to open the door. She just got so excited, and I can imagine her going in. Peter's here. Peter's at the door. I heard his voice. I heard him. Peter's here. Peter's here. But the blessed old saints of God says, we believe in prayer, but surely God didn't answer this. Notice what it says. Verse 15, the young lady comes and says, God's heard and answered our prayer. That was her attitude. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it's his angel. He can't be Peter. Does that not remind you of a lot of people's prayer life? Lord, I need this. And I know the only way I can get it is from you, God. And I'm going to trust you with it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Well, there's no way that'll ever happen. That's the extent of a lot of our prayer life. You know? This young girl's so excited. And I want to tell you, that's why. I want to say? I want to quit saying, I want to tell you something. I say it all the time. I want to tell you something. You help me with that. Every time I do it, hold up a sign. One of them little things that bothers me. The young people have faith in God that sometimes we kind of get a little hardened about. Get a little calloused. You've heard us say that the great revival meetings of the last 200 years, many of them have come because young people decided they were just going to trust God and believe God. We look at our church and we see we have just a handful of young people. And we say, well, how could it happen with just a handful? Well, the revival that moved through Wales happened with less than 20 young people. And it really happened because one young lady decided she was just going to fall in love with Jesus all the way. And I believe tonight that revival can come through the young people, and I believe that revival can come through the not-so-young people. And I believe revival can come through those that's above the not-so-young people. And I believe that revival can come to people that have gray hair, that have dark hair, or have no hair. I believe revival can come to anybody that wants it. I believe that God can hear and answer prayers of anybody that gets serious about it. But we see what happens sometimes. We pray, but we really just don't think it could happen. I mean, they said, Rhoda, you're mad. And she said, I'm going to tell you, it's him. We see the attitude. Her attitude was, Peter's here. But the attitude of the others was, there's no way. We see not only the attitude, we see the affirmation. She affirmed it. I mean, she just said, I'm not giving up on this. It's Peter. I don't care what you say. It's Peter. And that's what we need. We need some people that's going to say, I'm just going to believe that it's real. I'm going to believe that God hears and answers. And when he does, I'm not going to doubt it. And when it doesn't come the way I think it's going to come, I'm just going to keep on trusting him. That's what we want, everything on our timetable answered in our way. But that's not the way that God works. God's always on time, and God always does it his way. And I think every one of us would agree tonight that God's way is the best way. There's times that I've tried to figure it all out, and I've tried to sit down, and honestly, you know, the recipe for revival, if my people, and it's true, I believe if God's people, which are called by his name, would humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then he would hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe that with all of my heart. I have no doubt that could be a part of our lives. That's it. But we're at a stage, and we've become so cynical in our churches and in our Christian lives that we begin to call upon God, and we really don't think God will hear and answer our prayer anymore. We're going to have to get back to believing God. Look, God can remove the strongholds of our families. God can remove the strongholds of the drug addicts. God can remove the strongholds of the drunkards. God can remove the strongholds of the prostitutes. If God's people would get right with God and begin to trust him again. My dad and I were driving down the road, and he said, I've seen something here I've never seen before. I said, what's that? He said, guys wear their pants way down here. And he said, why do they do that? And I said, it's a fad, Dad. It means more than that in certain places. It's a fad. Role models. So you know what our teens need? They need some role models that will teach them how to live right. You know what our young men need? They need some men. I mean, I'm talking about some men that know God, that live for God. Men think that the way they can be manly is by being tough, using foul language, being rough. But I'll tell you, the greatest men are the men that have tenderness and firmness, that'll take a stand and will not back down, but do it in the love of Christ, in the way that Christ would have us to do it. Look, I believe when Jesus was turning over the tables in the temple, I believe he did it with all the love in his heart. But he had an anger at how they desecrated the house of God. And sometimes I think that's what we have to be. We have to have an anger at what's going on, but we have to love God enough and love people enough to take our stand, to be firm. We have to turn the table over But we have to let people know this is why. God's people are special people. And when prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, God went into action. God delivered him. Peter was anxious to get back to the people that he loved, to the church. When he gets back, the attitude of young Rhoda was glad, but the attitude of the others was like a lot of people today. They just couldn't believe it. But then she affirmed it. She said, "This is him. I want you to know, this is him." It says she constantly affirmed it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what's going on here? It's like, come here, Joe. He loves it when I do this. It's like, here's Joe, and he's telling me that Peter's outside that door. And he keeps saying, "But hey, I know you're crazy. You're mad. No, he's there. You're mad. No, he's there." Keep on saying, "He's there. I know he's there.
He's there.
He's there, isn't he?" Is that what you're saying? But no, he's not there.
Oh, he's there.
No, he's not there. You're mad. It's his angel. And he says, "It's Peter." You know what? We need to realize that these young people sometimes can talk to God too. We've taught them to pray and to trust God. But if we're going to teach them to pray and trust God, they better be seeing it in our lives. Amen. Joe and I, we pray about things together, don't we? We ask God for certain things. And we're trusting God to show us His will for our lives. We're working on things. But I'm going to tell you something. And if I'm going to tell Him I'm asking God to do this, He's going to have to see that I'm truthful about this. Now He loves me again. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand this? Have you seen this? Don't you see us getting harder as we get older? Why is it that it's easier to reach 4 to 14-year-olds? When they get 15 to about 20, they're kind of easy to reach. 21 and up to 30, it's a little bit more difficult. And you get past 30, it's hard to find somebody and get them saved. You know why we get hardened? We get cynical. We get to where we just can't believe. And then those that are around, these people that are around those of us that are saved, places where we work and in our neighborhoods, we're saved, but they don't see anything in us that would make them want to have what we've got. We have to learn to trust the Lord. And we see this affirmation. Now I want you to see the astonishment. I'm about done. Verse 16, the Bible says, "But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw it, they were astonished." It's an amazing thing. They had been praying, "God, would you deliver Peter?" And when he shows up, the Bible says, they're astonished. I'd like to be astonished like that, wouldn't you? "Oh, God, would you deliver Peter? We know that he's there, and we know what they've done to James already. They've killed James. God, would you deliver Peter?" Rhoda says, "He's here. Oh, God, would you deliver Peter? We don't know what's going to happen to him. I'm telling you, he's here." Rhoda, "Would you go do something else? You're crazy. But Peter's outside the door. You're mad." Why do we doubt God's ability? We will never have revival. We will never have the kind of life that God wants us to have if we're going to doubt God. And I'm telling you, they were so astonished, the church was astonished that God heard. And we're talking about the New Testament church. We're talking about early in the church. We're talking about churches having revival all the time. We're talking about a church that saw the mighty workings of God in ways that you and I have never seen. And they were astonished. Oh, may the Lord help us. But then I want you to notice finally the acclamation. Verse 17. "But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace." Now you can imagine what that scene would have been like. They saw, it really is Peter. And he has to hold his hand up. Tells them to hold their peace, and he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto John, to James and to the brethren, the other James. And he departed and went into another place. He gave God the glory. And that's what happens when revival comes. When God delivers us, we get up and say, I want to tell you what God's done for me. When God comes through for us, we can't help but tell others, this is what God's done. I was bound. It looked hopeless. But then Jesus set me free. You remember when you got saved? You remember what it was like? You remember the freedom? You remember the liberty? You remember how you felt like the weight of the world had been lifted off of you? Do you remember what it was like when you couldn't help but tell somebody you had just trusted Jesus? I want you to see that God wants to do things over and over. We get saved one time, but God hears and answers prayer day after day after day if we'll learn to trust Him, to believe in Him. And when He does, it ought to be just like it was when we got saved. Instead of having to go and say, I got saved, we can go and say, I was praying about this and I want to tell you what God's done for me. And all of a sudden it begins to spread. People can say, this is a God that does hear and answer prayer. I promise you, everybody that was a part of that church never forgot this night. And I'm telling you, Rhoda has had her place in history as a young lady that just believed that God was able and that God delivered. What's going to be your testimony? What's going on? What do you need? What are we asking God for? We've talked so much about America. We've talked so much about past president, this president. But have we prayed? We've talked about how our morals are, and I mean, I'm guilty. Talked about how we're seeing the morals of our society go. But have we prayed and asked God to do something? Really asked God to do something? We've talked about the condition of our churches and we're seeing as they're on a spiral downward. But have we prayed and believed that God was able to do great mighty things? We talk and say we can't compete with these big churches and we can't get it done because they have all these other things. But what about the power of the Spirit of God? God can come and do great and mighty things. And when He does, we're going to see people having a desire to be with God's people. And when we see people come in, there's going to be people get saved, and there's going to be some people say, I don't wonder if it's real. But then there's going to be others that say, can you believe that that person got saved? That's the attitude, isn't it? Rhoda said, he's here. Some people are going to say, did you see what God did? Did you see that person? Who'd ever thought that person? Who'd ever thought that old drunk could get saved? But then there's going to be others going to be sitting around the same pew down the road that's going to be sitting there saying, I wonder if he really means it or not. You see tonight, the same God that delivered Peter is the same God that's on the throne, is the same God that we pray to, and prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for Peter. We need to be a praying people, don't we? And trusting God again. Trusting God to do something with the wayward person, the person that we love, the person that's drifting, the person that we care so much about, the person that's bound by certain things. I don't know what the situation is. All I know is there is a God that can hear and can answer prayer. And we need to get back to what this New Testament church did, praying without ceasing and trusting God and doing what God teaches us to do. Finding our place, finding our prayer closet. Let me encourage you to do this. Get you a place in your house to pray. For you. Some people have a chair. Some people have a room. Some people go in a closet. Find you a place to pray. You and God. And make a time every day of your life to go to that place and pray. And if you move out, get you another place. But talk to God. Get back to having a devotional life. Not just having devotions, but a devotional life. And let's see what God can do. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the great testimony we have of how you delivered Peter. What you've done in his life. Lord, we realize you can do in our lives. Lord, you can hear the prayers of your church, and the prayers of your people. Lord, we need revival, there's no doubt. We just need your people, Lord, to be what you want us to be. Help us to learn the power of prayer. Help us to find ourselves communing with thee, not just in a moment of the day, but every moment of the day. Lord, having the times where we're meditating on the Word of God that we've read and on the things that the Spirit of God has shown us. And even, Lord, in our busy days of working and shopping and even the times of playing, Lord, may our mind be fixed on thee, guided by thee. And may we find that strength that we need. Lord, help our young people. Lord, help them not to see hypocrisy in us adults. But Lord, help them to see a people that love the Lord and take our stand, care about others. And I pray that we'll see revival. Lord, if it starts in the young people, that'd be great. But Lord, let it start somewhere. And help us to get in on it. And Lord, help us to be guided by thee and help our country. Help our president. Help our vice president, congressmen, senators, all those in authority over us, Lord, would you work in their lives. And God, we see a country that once honored thee, now we see many have fallen away from principles that were once there. But Lord, help us as your people to take our stand and to love you enough to do what's right. Help us tonight as we come to this time of invitation to be obedient unto thee. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you accomplish. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to